point was encapsulation, which IFF have amazing knowledge on. And I embedded this encapsulated, replicated body sweat into a smell neutral binder. So this combination, this slurry, then was applied to the wall. The wall became the skin of these men.
So basically you painted the smells on the walls, right?
Yes.
Amazing.
So the wall, the whole room was a 200 square meter. You entered the room. The only way you could smell was if you touched the skin of the man. So the wall became a skin of the person. And you touched the wall and the smell was up your face. You know, it was amazing. And also these men were lined up next to each other. So kind of also that, the metaphor of crowd and the issues of concern and why they were afraid was also part of the visual appearance of the project, you know, that some were afraid of the others, some were afraid of color of skin. And, you know, it was, it's a very complex project, but none of the men had, there was no name. They were only abstract. They were numbers. So it was not about that you come and you smell the wall and then you get afraid. That's not the topic, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, some people, that's happened also to some people.
Did some people react badly or like with fear?
Yeah, they pre-programmed themselves to think they will get afraid because of the title of the work, you know?
I see.
Yeah, but the decontextualized reality, you know, is a lot of the strategy, the way I work. Take the smell out of its context, replicate it, reproduce it if it's about replication and reproduction, and then place it in a completely different context so that you don't even know what the smell is in most cases. There are hardly any indications on what the smells are. So I leave it up to the audience always to find out, because there is no bad and good. There is no right or wrong in smell. There's just a smell.
Yeah, good point.
The first time I showed it, I've showed it now all over the world. I mean, 25 various exhibitions. And I'm showing it again this year. I have a big solo show in Norway.
As an aside for our listeners, the show in Norway takes place from October in 2021 to January 2022 at the Astrup Fearnley Museum in Oslo. And Sissel will show work from 25 years of practice.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Yes, fantastic. In the biggest museum in Norway in Oslo. No, so it's a very interesting project that is still very actual, and I have a lot of requests for it now, especially in COVID and fear, and you know.
Yeah, and the anxiety of the other body now too.
Ah, yeah. And also, you know, when I did, you know, all this recordings, and then I studied, you know, then all the databases, you know, compare the data, and also of course collecting the body sweat when they didn't have fear attack and compare the data is part of all the research behind it. Yeah. And also looking into when a person is happy, the profiles are different, the smell profile is different, the molecular structure is different. And there's always something like with the smell DNA, some molecules are remain the same, but then there are various other molecules that's kind of caused by the different psychological state of mind. The way your tear tastes when you are happy is completely different than when the tears you cry when you are sad. And the same is with the body sweats and any kind of fluid coming out of the body. Yeah, it's all about chemistry.
This is Perfume on the Radio, produced by the Institute for Art and Olfaction, which is a nonprofit devoted to experimentation and access in the field of perfumery, based in sunny and beautiful Los Angeles. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to the Berlin-based artist Sissel Tolas. Thanks for listening. Okay, let's talk about another project you've taken on called Nasalo, which, you know, in short description is a language for scent. So your work with this language that you have created in my world comes up over and over again. So I'm curious about what led you to develop that.
Again, back to where I started. As you remember, language was a very important factor in my approach to the invisible reality. And the lack of language was also one of the massive force that can push me out there to find out and to be reassured that I was equipped properly. I studied, I speak up to 9 languages if I'm efficient. I also have linguistic background. So I was very concerned about how one day would I potentially be able to speak about what I do and give these smells terms beyond a metaphor of bad and good and metonyms like smell like this, smell like that. Yeah. Metaphors and also the connotation, you know, how you speak with smell, it smell good, it smell bad, and that's about it, you know, most cultures, unless you, you know, really have culture that live close to smells and smell part of everyday life. Language and you know, how to communicate information and smell, how to communicate smell was a very important issue from the very beginning. So nevertheless, when I started to understand that this is going to be my profession and my life is going to be committed to the topic of smell, I